Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Pastor Ngurima.
My dear, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
The Lord is keeping me, and yourself?
Musha. Can't complain.
Yeah, we thank the Lord for that.
Thank you so much. Well, we're continuing on yesterday's thread and, with the scripture which was put together apparently centuries ago. Were you able to find out when this was?
Okay, yeah. According to the researches, Moses is the one who started the compilation, the writing, around 45 after the Egypt experience.
445
BC, before Christ,
In the fourth century.
Yes. Then, including the New Testament, it stretches to 100 AD. So 445 BC to 100 AD, that's the period when the writing of scripture and the compilation was done, is believed to have been done.
To have been penned in that period. Looks like this is ages after the creation took place, because already in the fourth century, only then the scriptures come into being. Well, we're going to be entertaining that at another time. We then want to understand a few things from God's holy word, by the way, which is the Bible as we understand it. And we did say yesterday that it's unique among all other books, and it's written by more than, you said more than 40 authors yesterday?
Yes.
And you said they were living in different, areas, spending over 1,500 years, as you suggested. Now, this is why you said you believe that the Bible does so well in reaching people at different points, in their lives, in spite of the different situations that they were written in. And of course, with a wide spectrum of a perspective, which is what makes it unique, as you suggested yesterday. Now, is there a particular reason why God chose to use these, 40 different authors? Is there a reason why he chose to use so many people to write the scriptures?
Oh, thank you for the question. As for the selection element, the Bible doesn't tell us the reason why those people were chosen. The issue of number of writers, the gender who were chosen to write, their ages, social status, the Bible doesn't state the criteria which God used to pick the person. But what God did, he used to prepare a person whom he gave a message to share it with his people.
I see. So at this stage, we can say he has not revealed why so many people.
Yeah, we don't know. And why did he end it at 40? Why didn't he use one? Mm-hmm. And why he used that 1,500 period time for the scriptures to be written? And that much I don't have the information.
I see.
But what I know, he only qualifies a person using his only criteria, then gives his message relevant to his people.
Interesting. Now, one of the writers out of this 40 wrote this particular, phrase, which I think is important, and it sounds very powerful. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path," which is found in the book of Psalm 119, on paragraph 105. What does that mean?
Okay, it's quite a powerful passage which indicates that the writer was so sure about the importance of the Bible. Now, Maybe it means the word is there to dismiss the darkness which sin brought in the hearts of the people. So the presence of the word in people's hearts automatically enlightens them about God's will. Mm-hmm. Yes. And since sin came, this world can be considered as a dark planet, because the dark element is defined by the presence of sin. When Jesus came, he showed himself as the light of the world.
Mm.
So if we live without the presence of the word of God, we'll be grouping in darkness. So the light is present to tell us what to eat, what not to eat, what to dress, how to dress, our relationships. We are supposed to be enlightened in everything which we do. Otherwise, we might miss the mark, and we might continue to divert or to repel from God's presence.
Yeah, very, very insightful indeed, I must say. Now, it is said that the Bible reveals God's will. I don't know, because, as I was paging through it, it looks like it's a history book telling us about what happens at what time and what happened at what time, etc., etc. But we also hear that it reveals God's will. How so?
Okay. God, he is always a good communicator.
Mm.
He is always a loving God. You don't want us to die in sin.
Right.
So his will is revealed through his word, how he tells us what is expected of us to him. What are we supposed to do to our God? And he explains how we came to existence, where we failed and fall, and how man was restored to God. After that, he went on to tell us the do's and the don'ts, so that we maintain our relationship with our God.
Okay, I want to hear the example of how this is exactly done, because, I mean, we learn of how God created, that's history, and who was born when, and then the children, of Israel were in Egypt, there was famine in Egypt, and how they got there, and how God released them, and the story goes on, the birth of Abraham, and all of those stories. And I really do want you to please just zoom into how exactly, does this book reveal the will of God?
Okay. If we can start from Genesis, after the fall, God, even before the fall, instruction was given, these are trees you're supposed to eat, but this one, don't what? Don't eat.
Okay, all right.
So by not eating, Adam and Eve were making a statement how much they obey their God, or they love their God. By disobeying, that's affecting from God's presence. So he gives us instructions from Genesis, Exodus, going through to Revelation. He is always running after man, and man is running away from God. So he's trying to show his love to a fallen man who doesn't have that love towards his creator.
Yeah,
he's giving Genesis, Revelation, he's showing his love. The thread of love is the center of the Bible.
Mm.
God is love.
Mm.
Yes.
I see. Oh, well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, we need to wrap up the conversation this afternoon, Pastor. And before we do that, you know, I've been actually looking at what is happening in Europe currently, which seems to be spreading over across the world. I mean, if you look in many big cities, you know, in Europe, the likes of Brussels, likes of London, etc., you see many cathedrals, churches, you know, synagogues, etc., they have been deserted, you know. But churches are no longer places that people flock into. They have now become museums. People have used the churches in general as just places where people, tourists, can come and view beautiful structures. But no worship happens in those places anymore. This is literally across Europe. Seems that this religion thing is dissipating. Now, I want to check if you believe that the Bible is still relevant even today.
The Bible is very relevant as it was in the ancient days. The Bible itself says, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. So it proves that the Bible is still relevant. The prophecy which was said long back is now being fulfilled. So if what was said in the Bible is happening now, it shows its relevance. That's number one. Number two, the same sins which were committed long back are the same sins which are being committed. So the Bible will remain relevant. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It was said long back. Now people are still committing adultery. So the verse still stands. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So the Bible is still relevant. Maybe allow me to say it's much more relevant today than in the ancient times. Why am I saying so? The people who lived during Christ's time never used the New Testament or the Second Testament. So we are now using both the Old and the New Testament, meaning to say the Bible is much more relevant to our people today, to us today, more than it was in the past. That's my thing.
I wonder, why would you think so? Because when we're looking on the ground, the reality of the matter is that more people are leaving religion. More people are saying, well, we're okay with religion. We're leaving this thing. And we just want to live comfortable lives away from churches, away from reading the Bible, etc. I mean, we, even here in Africa, you see much more younger people, you know, moving away from church. They grow up in church, yes, but as soon as they are older and are able to live on their own, you see a number of them no longer going to church or reading the word. And it seems that it's not as relevant as you believe it to be.
Okay, it's quite interesting. This is more like history repeating itself. In the days of Noah, many people left the religion, left true worship. Only 8 were left. Even in the days of Elijah was tempted to think that he's the only one left, because the majority of the people were worshiping idols. Thank God, amongst the Israelites, there were 7,000 who never knelt before a Baal. During Sodom and Gomorrah, one righteous man came out of Sodom and Gomorrah with his two daughters, you see. So this is according to the Bible, which means it's still relevant. The works of the love of many shall wax cold. More people are going to desert religion, and wickedness shall abound. So it's the fulfillment of prophecy. So the Bible will remain relevant. If we leave the Bible, I tell you, disaster will come our way. We'll continue to come our way. Look what is happening.
If it is relevant, you see, how I define relevant, Pastor, is that it is of help to human life. People use this document to actually navigate life. And so relevance, you know, comes in when people can actually say, but hang on, let's actually look at this book because it helps us as a navigator. You know, when you are in the oceans, middle of the oceans, elsewhere, somewhere in the oceans, you don't know whether you are in the south, north, or east. And so you need a navigator to tell you where you are. So it becomes a necessary tool, a relevant tool at that time. But alas, it doesn't seem relevant because people seem to be doing okay without it.
But I think relevance is not fully defined by the acceptance of the truth.
Okay, all right.
Lot remained relevant to his message. Sodom is going to be destroyed soon.
Mm.
Those guys made fun of him. So being relevant, he won't be defined by people neglecting the truth. If you remain relevant, people accept it or deny it. It will remain relevant.
Ah, fantastic. Well, Pastor, that's a very good point you make there. I must say thank you so much for the conversation we've had today. I've enjoyed the conversation. I do hope that our listeners also have enjoyed and have picked up some lessons, you know, in what you have presented today. As we let you go, the one thing that you probably would want the listener to remember, because tomorrow we're doing the last segment. So one thing that you want to emphasize?
I want to encourage people to go back to the Bible. Have time to study it and prayerfully implement whatever the Lord is saying through His word. Through His word, this is God's mind being shared to us by Him using His word, His prophets. So let us rally to the Bible. The one who benefits is not God, but it's us.
Oh,
that's
yes.
My way.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Blessings. We are going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow, same time, same place.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Blessings to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.